You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Simon Dent spent 15 years as a sports lawyer and agent for A-list clients. Along with being a genuine fan, he has a deep understanding of the business side of sport and value for sponsors. So 2 years ago, in partnership with noted London ad agency Lucky Generals, Simon launched Dark Horses. Part of the thinking of Lucky Generals was to build a network of forward-thinking entrepreneurial companies, in part to satisfy the ever-demanding needs of clients. With Simon at the helm, Dark Horses has grown steadily in the UK and Europe, now moving into the US, working for clients such as Nissan, Under Armour, Peloton, and online sports retailer Wiggle. Here's Simon now with more on his journey and the story of Dark Horses.
I'd primarily say we provide strategic and creative services for brands who want to activate through sport or for sports brands. We've been going a couple of years now, and the thinking really around launching the agency was that there was a niche in the market, especially in the UK. Obviously, sport is an incredibly emotional, passionate space, and brands want that. And as you see at every sports event, big, small, every weekend, brands, sponsor teams want to get involved but want to be an authentic part of the conversation. And what we do is help them with that. Obviously, we're all aware of brands that rock up and slap their logo on something. And to be honest, most fans will take no notice of them and it'll be a waste of money. So a lot of what we do is actually creating a legitimate role for them within the events, which serves everyone's purpose. The clients that we are extremely busy with at the moment are people such as Southampton Football Club, Just Eat. So Just Eat is a brand, obviously massive now in this country, bigger than Sainsbury's, I believe. We did their World Cup campaign. We're currently doing a campaign with them on TalkSport, and we're about to start activating their sponsorship of the World Darts. We work with a big sports retailer called Wiggle, who massive in the cycling, tri, running space, and also their sister company called Chain Reaction. And then we have a big, big launch with a brand called Peloton, who operate in the fitness and tech space, fascinating business. They're probably the biggest things we're working on at the moment, but there's a lot going on with other people we're talking to. One of the biggest brands we work with at the moment is Nissan. So Nissan are a huge sponsor of a number of sports around the world. We are their retained strategic and creative agency across all their sports platforms. So on a global scale, they sponsor the Champions League. They sponsor City Football Group, which Manchester City are part of. They are launching a Formula E team this year. They're also sponsored the ICC, which the headline event is the Cricket World Cup next year. So that is a lot of sponsorship. And our role within that is to make sense of those platforms. And once we've strategically made sense of why they're sponsoring those events, we then bring those relationships to life. And that's everything from creating TV bumpers to activations at the stadiums to the hospitality to the ticketing to the big ideas to the big TV ads. So it's a whole suite of services we offer. One of the big roles we have is around the strategy. So we help the brand and the rights holder make sense of the relationship. We refer to it as a sort of bridging idea, and that is an idea that, for example, links the brand to the right. So for example, with Nissan, as I said, are launching a Formula E team this season. Nissan is all about intelligent mobility. It's all about the future of cars. It's all about technology. What better place to showcase that than in Formula E, which is the racing of the future? So you can immediately see why that makes sense for Nissan. It obviously makes sense for Nissan as well that they have the Leaf car, which is one of their biggest selling cars, which is an electric car. So you can see there needs to be a bridging thought that links the brands to the right. Now, a lot of the time, brands just want the eyeballs. So, you know, you see it a lot in a number of sports events where they just buy logos, slap them on the shirts or slap on the LEDs on the side, and it's a media buy. Now, that's not what we do. We don't go out and buy media for people, but listen, that does play a role. But our main thing is around that strategic piece of thinking, that to link the brand authentically to the right and then creatively bring it to life. The great thing that sport gives you, I suppose there's a number of things, that it's always on. There's always a sports event taking place every minute of the day all around the world. It's incredibly social. So, you know, at the water cooler every day, in the office, every office, people are talking about last night's game, this weekend's game. And it's incredibly shareable. So you look at social media now, I mean, I don't know what your feed's like, but my feed most days across most platforms is about sport. So therefore, those three factors are so powerful that it's always a part of the conversation. So brands fighting for I guess, people's attention. There's no better way than trying to weave yourself authentically into sport. I think it's the most powerful channel, along with music. I think sport and music combine people's attention a lot, but yeah, I think that's what the brands want. Look, I'd worked as in a number of fields where I wasn't enjoying it, I wasn't happy. I'd always wanted to work in sport, so that evolved from being a sports agent into this marketing role. And I think the niche was apparent to me. I'm primarily a football fan, but I love every sport, most sports. I spent a lot of my time at sports events, and I'd often be at big events scratching my head as to why Brand X would spend so much money at that event, yet they're not making my experience any better. I'm not leaving the arena or, you know, watching on TV with a warm glow about that brand, and therefore, you know, my assumption is they've wasted their money, and I'm their audience. So it was that real sort of inquisitive nature as to actually understanding more about that world, and that was the beginning of the journey, really. I'm probably the least qualified person within my business, if I'm brutally honest. I think of myself as a conductor who doesn't have an instrument to play. Everyone else within my team, we're now 25 people, full-time staff, has a specific role, whether that's account management, strategy, creative, design, and they all bring something to the table. My experience is in the world of business. Obviously, as I said, I launched the agency 2 years ago. But yeah, it's a tricky one. I don't know. My qualifications for launching a creative agency are probably minimal, but as I said, I did identify a niche. I'd seen other agencies trying to do it, and really I knew that I had to get the support of experts. So I actually approached an existing advertising agency who were very successful, knew they had the skill set, so went to them and said, this is my idea. So the three founders of that agency are now my partners in this agency. We obviously take culture very seriously. The agency, as I said, has been going 2 years. It's my three partners are the founders of an agency called Lucky Generals, which is an incredibly well-respected, well-known agency around the world, really. Most famed this year for shooting Amazon's Super Bowl ad, which was widely regarded as the best ad in Super Bowl and won many awards. And I think by launching and approaching them to launch this sports-based creative agency, I knew that their intelligence would help. I think we would not be sat here today if I tried to launch an advertising marketing agency by myself. I mean, that's the truth. Because that they are alongside me and they've already built an agency, that's been incredibly useful because they have a very well-respected playbook as to how to do it. Listen, we get some things wrong still, obviously, but as you identified, the recruitment of people is the most important thing. We're now a team of 25 people. We've gone from, at the end of last year, we were 6 people. So we've had what we would call hypergrowth, really, over the last 10 months, and a lot of my role has been recruitment. We're still at that place where I interview everyone and myself and a couple of others make decisions on the recruitment. But what we do is make sure that the existing team members also interview people as well. So it's not, you know, it's not just my decision. It's a group decision. We're in an open plan office, which is incredibly important. We're quite a young team. I think I'm the oldest, which is mildly concerning. We have a fund within the company where we invest in sports-related startups. The whole team, we went to Siena in the summer for the Palio as a group, which is amazing. So we are a group of like-minded individuals, and that's incredibly important. And I've worked in a number of workplaces that weren't enjoyable. And I remember being someone in my 20s who would be sat at home on a Sunday night dreading going to work. And one of the biggest KPIs I have for the business is making sure that everyone's at home on a Sunday night, they're looking forward to coming to work. And that means a lot to me. What I've done before has primarily been for myself. So as an agent, I was working for myself. I had no sort of training, as it were. I kind of made that up. It went very well. I had some great clients. And I think the journey that I'm now on, as you say, is very much one of I'm learning every day. I mean, that's the thing that I get most out of every single day, is that not am I only learning from the people around me, but I read a lot. I'm going through 2-3 books a month, all mainly now really about other startups, leaders. And it's what keeps me going, to be honest. And I talk about one of the partners in the office about progress being happiness. And I think that for me is I finally found something that actually really makes me happy, and that's actually learning. I didn't really know what it was going to be when we started. When we launched the business, it was very much myself and the Lucky Generals team. And to be honest, the name really was born out of that, around sort of the creative director of Lucky Generals, Danny Brooke-Taylor, came up with the name. And it was fascinating because we very much looked at it as being a business that myself as a dark horse, you know, we'd take the industry by surprise. We would work with brands that wanted to take their competitors by surprise. And this whole dark horses ethos grew. And at the outset, I borrowed their resource. So I borrowed their account management, their strategy, their designers, their creative. And as and when we slowly picked up business, I started recruiting my own people. And basically now the only department we share is design. And so we're pretty much fully independent from them. And it's been brilliant. And we've grown. And as I said, I wouldn't be sat here today without their assistance. And that's, again, linked to the fact of maybe having to leave the building is a big step for us. The big things at the moment are looking at an office in New York, and there's a few interesting opportunities that have presented themselves in America. So we've got a lot of work to do, obviously getting London right. But as I said, this opportunity has presented itself. It's incredibly exciting. So we're considering that. One of the big things that we are getting our heads around at the moment is that we're in this incredible shared space with Lucky Generals, who, as I said, the three founders of their agency co-own ours. But very soon we're going to run out of space. And I think it's been brilliant sharing the space with Lucky Generals, but it's working out when the time is to fly the nest. We're pretty sure that we'd love to stay with them forever, but we can't. And so that's something that is, yeah, it's a great challenge. It's, you know, I'm thinking about it a lot. And I think that combined with New York, you know, this time next year, who knows where we'll be and who we'll be with.
Thank you very much to Simon Dent for coming in to share the story of Dark Horses. This show was mixed and edited by David Stevens. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.